Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice. The mission of the Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal economic opportunity and justice for all without truth decay. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing both creative artists and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Welcome to the Reasonable Voices Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando. On the Reasonable Voices Talk Radio Show, Reasonable Voices get to have their say and explain to us, share with us, inform us, enlighten us. Today, my guest is the Region 10 Executive Director, Robert Johnson. How are you this afternoon, Robert?
I'm just fine, Marcello.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and we're going to talk a lot about Region 10. I'm not certain everyone knows about Region 10, but Region 10 is primarily a Central Virginia organization. Would that be correct?
Yes, it would be.
Okay. And as I think it even is part of your logo, forgive me, I'm paraphrasing, Innovative Services for Mental Health, Disabilities, and Substance Use Disorders. And I think it goes on to say, each individual's better life means a better community. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but tell us about that. That's quite a benchmark. That's quite a goalpost.
Well, thank you. It's a high standard, and we strive to live up to it. Our vision is actually a better life, a better community.
Uh-huh.
And we strive to provide innovative services to people with mental health, substance addiction, and intellectual disability needs. And our mission is to work together to enrich our community one life at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So those are tall orders. We're a community services board, which is the single point of entry for government-funded behavioral health services in the state of Virginia. And Marcello, we're one of 40 community services boards that serves all of the counties and cities across the state.
And you are primarily located in, first of all, in Charlottesville, Albemarle County, Greene County, Louisa County, Nelson County, Fluvanna County. Did I leave out anybody?
I think you got them all.
Fluvanna,
Louisa, Albemarle, and Charlottesville.
Yes.
And a lot of people ask us, why are we called Region 10?
Yes.
We're called Region 10 because when we were formed, back around 1969, the forming board wanted it to be named after the region that we represent, which are those counties and the city of Charlottesville.
Now, do you have, but you also have a, is it just an office in Crozet?
Oh, actually, we have clinics, counseling centers in each of the counties.
Okay.
As well as Crozet. Probably our largest operation is in the city of Charlottesville.
All right. So everyone knows, I asked you to be on the show, Robert Johnson, Executive Director of Region 10, because I met you at a mental health forum. It was, the panel members included Denise Lunsford, who is a Commonwealth attorney running for re-election, and State Senator Craig Deeds, who is leading a political charge, sadly, for obvious reasons, to try and enlighten the public and get the public to pay attention and be involved in some positive solutions
for those dealing with mental health issues. I attended because I have had family with mental health issues, and I've done many radio shows and guests of various different disciplines, autism, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, etc. So I've heard of and known about Region 10, even known people who've worked there, but I was so glad to meet you because I thought, we have to get you on radio. I think, like so many organizations that are doing such a great thing, I'll bet two things are true. Your budget is often strained, and the people, the number of people you can have to be of help, work the limits of their physical and mental ability. And I'm thinking also, most people don't know all the things that Region 10 and your team provide. And as I said before we got on air, the we don't have time to cover all of them, but I think the biggest block, in my opinion, the biggest block to understanding what you and Region 10 and your various county offices and counseling centers are all about is that people still, I mean, we used to put people with mental illnesses right in an institution, just lock them up. We didn't understand. And now it might be argued we've almost come full circle with mass incarceration, but that's not what today's program is about directly. But with a facility like Region 10, do you still find that a number one obstacle is to get people to talk about it, not just the patient, but the family, the friends, the public, the community? Your turn. What do you think?
Absolutely. I'm glad you put it in that framework, because it's not just the funding, it's also the stigma.
Yes.
That creates, I would say, one of the biggest barriers to people getting services. And I can tell you, we served, I think, in FY15, mm-hmm. The year 2014 for the most part, we served probably 8,000 individuals, almost 6,000 adults.
Wow.
2,300 children in Region 10. Mm. And still, the demand was far greater than our capacity. And I have 600 staff.
Wow.
150 full-time staff, and the rest are part-time or PRN.
Mm-hmm.
Got great people working with lots of expertise. And I would tell you that the demand still outstrips the capacity,
mm-hmm.
the supply of staff. But that being said, a lot of people suffer in silence because they are afraid to come forward, or their families are afraid to come forward and say that they have a mental illness or are addicted to a substance. Or what we really see quite frequently, they have what we call co-occurring disorders. They have mental health and substance abuse disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spend a fair amount of time combating stigma. I'll tell you maybe if I get a chance, one of the programs we use to combat stigma. And even with that being said, when they come in outdoors, we have to work very hard, as do all the other boards,
mm-hmm.
to reduce waiting lists, which becomes yet another barrier.
Yes. It is it is something, even with all the changes, some say improvements, some don't agree, but I'm rather impressed with Obamacare and all of that, but everyone's fighting either for or against Obamacare, and yet we don't, even with Obamacare, we don't hear a great deal of discussion about the mental health care within that. What do we do for those with mental illness? And I think we ought to rattle off a few. I think I mentioned a few. Help me out with that list, because not everybody even knows. You know what? Autism is a mental health issue. I said Alzheimer's. My parents, as most people know, suffered from that. But also the schizophrenia, depression, getting them all, bipolarism. Some have the potential for more violent possibilities, especially without medication and treatment. But not all mental illness is prone to violence, is it?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's unfortunate that there have been quite a few disturbing incidents that have been portrayed through the media in the past couple of years of individuals who probably suffered from mental illness,
mm-hmm.
probably either undiagnosed or untreated.
Yes.
When the reality is the vast majority of individuals who have a diagnosable mental illness, and I think you described some of the top ones,
mm-hmm.
who are suffering from bipolar, schizophrenia, or schizophreniform disorders, are extraordinarily nonviolent.
Mm-hmm.
When you mix alcohol or any other drug with a mental illness,
yes.
that's when you're most likely to see an individual become or exhibit some potential for violence. But other than that, and the vast majority are not doing that, they have actually a lower rate of violent episodes than the general population. So I wanted to get that out.
Yes.
Because when you see an incident such as the one that happened in Roanoke, with the news reporter who had an untreated mental illness, essentially assassinated two reporters on the air.
Mm-hmm.
This is an individual, when you look at his own writings, he had said no to mental health treatment.
Yes.
And that would have been so important and such, it would have changed the whole outcome, I believe.
Exactly.
So the potential was great.
Exactly. And I support you completely in that statement, because it really is amazingly upsetting to me when really the public rarely, especially via media, discusses mental health issues at all until there's some act of violence, and then they jump on that as if that were the only reason for the violence. But I want to get to some of the specifics. I mean, you do everything from acupuncture in every age, from infants who might be either maybe someone has abused substances and they give birth to the child, or the child may be born into a home where there is some potential and you have services for them, adult case management, intellectual. What is, you mentioned that earlier, what is the difference between mental health issues and intellectual disabilities?
Okay. Well, let me just say this, since you started, you opened the door. We're probably operating 61 to 64 different programs throughout Region 10 at any given time. So that's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Now, mental health, the difference between mental health and intellectual disability disorders, or ID as we call intellectual disabilities,
mm-hmm.
is that the individual with ID typically cannot cognize very well, does
gotcha.
Not learn very easily, is generally separated out pretty on in their early childhood as being unable to learn or to reason for
mm-hmm.
him or herself
mm-hmm.
and needs assistance. And in the past, that individual was labeled as retarded.
Mm-hmm.
That term fell out of use a few years ago, and now the term ID, or intellectual disability, is used, as well as IDD, which is intellectual disability and developmental disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually work with individuals who also have autism, who may or may not be high-functioning, very intelligent,
yes,
but have behavioral health issues. And so we've lumped it all under, there's a whole lot of stuff under that umbrella called
yes.
behavioral health.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what I think people need to understand. There's so many different ramifications, so many different forms that it can take. And the best thing is to get with professionals like you at Region 10 and find out what program of the many that you offer, rehabilitation, residential services, anger management, child and adolescent outpatient services. I mean, the list goes on, and it seems to me there's something for everyone, but they have to come through the door. How do you get your patients? Voluntarily enter, or do they have to be sent to you from a hospital or from a court? How do they get to you?
Excellent question. They come those ways, and they also simply pick up the phone, dial 972-1800, and say, you know, I have a family member that I'd like you to look at, or they say, I'm having a problem, I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say we do some stuff that people call odd, and you mentioned acupuncture, but we also have something that I feel very strongly about works. A lot of people know about it,
mm-hmm.
animal-assisted therapy.
Oh,
did
yes.
you know we had that?
No, I didn't, and I really believe in that. Please, tell us about that.
Well, we use primarily dogs
mm-hmm.
who are there to help have folks who have problems controlling behaviors,
mm-hmm.
and the dogs are trained to be really assistant.
Mm.
They're just calming dogs. They
yes.
calm the individual down. They bring them into their therapy sessions. They have them at home. The dogs are trained. We have actually have, I think, 5 or 6 dogs that we trained here at Region 10, and they have a way that I think is much less threatening
yes.
to some individuals than human beings would be
yes.
because of issues that individual, that consumer may have had with people in the past. And the therapy dogs are so important in helping them begin to address some of the issues that create problems for them in their lives. So I think that's pretty amazing, and it's a recent development. I would like to see that expanded, and we're one of the boards, I think, that's at the front of that type of therapy, the therapy dogs.
I am so glad you mentioned that, because I had no idea that that was one of the many services you provide, or at least are moving toward and leading the way. Animal therapy, I believe in it completely. I do. Tell us, I know before we got on air, I asked you, what's a CSB? We see that a lot, and what is a CSB?
CSB is the acronym for Community Services Board,
uh-huh.
and it's the single point of entry for government-funded behavioral health services in the state of Virginia. Another term that people probably are more familiar with than that would be community mental health centers.
Uh-huh.
So some states call them mental health centers. In Virginia, I'll started out probably in the late 60s,
mm-hmm.
and it became even more important with deinstitutionalization, where they began discharging mentally ill people from the hospitals, sending them to the community. They had to have a place where they could continue to receive their treatment with the psychiatrist, therapist, and the ancillary services that they needed. And that led to the formation of the CSBs. As I said earlier, we're one of 40 community services boards. We have
uh-huh.
a performance contract with the state mental health department,
mm.
and we have general fund dollars that come from them. It's about 20% of our budget.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, majority of it is through Medicaid,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
through the Department of Medical Assisted Services. And we have some grant-funded programs. We're very aggressive about going after state and federal grants at Region 10, and we have a few federal grants that are pretty much ongoing, such as the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Block Grant. We get some dollars from that.
Mm.
From our localities, a lot of folks think we get a large part of our budget from localities, but our localities probably account for only 4% of our budget.
Oh.
Not that much. Mm-hmm. The majority comes from Medicaid, which is about 61% of our budget.
And remind us, where is the Virginia state government, or the Richmond State House, on the subject of Medicaid? I know the Governor McAuliffe is...
I try not to be too political, but let me just say this. The Affordable Care Act, after it went through the Supreme Court a couple of years ago, made Medicaid expansion optional for states, and
mm-hmm.
Virginia opted not to expand Medicaid. But it did go forward with the, which was mandatory, the insurance exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
What it ended up doing, though, was the very people who most needed insurance are the folks who are too poor
yes.
to be part of the insurance exchanges. And the amount of dollars that we ended up, turning away, the federal dollars, were significant.
Yes.
We had, at the time, we did our own snapshot, 990-something people who were eligible for Medicaid expansion. And because Virginia opted not to expand, that was $1.2 to $2 million of revenue per year
yes.
that we ended up losing. Now, you can imagine what that would have done to a CSB. As far as creating a capacity, had we get our hands on even a portion of that money.
Yes. I certainly wasn't trying to put you on the spot politically, but I knew some of that, and I knew you would know the complete story, and I think the audience benefits from your sharing it. We're going to take a short break. Please don't go away. This is a conversation all families and communities need to have. We cannot keep pretending that mental health and mental illnesses don't exist, or to not understand the many different ways and forms in which it exists. So please stay with us. We'll be back with the executive director of Region 10, Robert Johnson. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Arriving in 2001, Amelie quickly became the most successful French-language film ever released in the U.S. Amelie, The Fabulous Destiny of Amélie Poulain, is its full title, a portrait of one of the most wildly imaginative, eccentric, and whimsical characters ever to appear on any screen. She is played by the adorable Audrey Tautou, with an unforgettably infectious smile that somehow conveys a conspiracy with the knowledge of the universe. There was little reason for Amelie to smile at first. As a child, she suffered an overbearing father and the freakish death of her mother. But the result was a vivid imagination and the determination to live on her own. When she discovers a small box of toys behind her apartment wall, she seeks out the boy who had left it behind long ago. Its return makes the now grown man so happy that Amelie begins scheming to repair the sadness in the lives of everyone she knows, including that of a mysterious man who collects the discards from public photo booths. Love ensues, but can Amelie stop vicariously living other people's lives in order to find it? Fantasy? Yes, but Amelie is a delicious little Gallic comedy that brings to its audience the delightful joy of being human. Amelie, not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Find us on the web at IndieFilmMinute.com.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voices Talk Radio Show. My guest today is the executive director of Region 10, Robert Johnson. We've had an incredible conversation so far, diverse, informative, educational, trying to open, well, dare I say, trying to throw a little cold water in the face of our community, our state, our nation, to recognize that mental health and mental illnesses come in many forms, and the worst thing that can happen is if they are ignored and the patient does not get the treatment they need, whether it's for budgetary reasons or political reasons or for the, I think the biggest reason, Robert might agree with me, is just people denying that it exists. We are talking about, and primarily Region 10 is seeing people with conditions that can be potentially more violent, and of course in media is labeling that all mental illness that way, but substance abuse and or child abuse or schizophrenia, these need medical treatment, need medication, and need the kind of services that Region 10 brings. And off air I was speaking to Robert about a relative that I know who suffers from schizophrenia, and I was not involved at all in their life that much away. And once I came to visit them in St. Elizabeth's Hospital, where I can't think of his name now, the man who shot Reagan, but that visit made me realize that something, you know, there was something fine being there and being treated and with medication. But at one point, this relative came to visit and something was different. I didn't know what, but something was different. And I found out later he had gone off of his medication. And you talked about that. And that was quite a night of my trying to get medication for him and getting him to the hospital. He wasn't at all violent, but clearly, and I bring this up primarily because obviously I'm talking to you, Robert Johnson, but also because part of what our forum was the other day when we met, the mental health forum, was police getting training to deal with people who have a mental illness. And I'm not down on police, but police who shoot people for no reason, I'm certainly not in favor of that. But I do think there needs to be a new training across the board, and families need to be trained. Because what I saw in this relative that night, which was not at all violent, was so different. And so I think someone coming across that who didn't know there was a mental illness would have had a very negative result in all likelihood. And we've seen examples of this in the media we've been knocking. But Robert, tell us, what are the signs? And when we see them, you mentioned a telephone number. Let's mention it again slowly so people know there is someone out there that is just a phone call away who can advise and help. Tell us, please.
Right. For Region 10, it's area code 434-972-1800. That's our basic phone number or hotline, however you wish to call it.
Uh-huh.
But, we have people there all, who will speak with you, and it's all day, all night. It connects with the emergency services, which is a mandated code service for CSBs in the state of Virginia as well. So that's a number that I would ask that you use if you need to contact us.
Also,
it's unfortunate what you went through.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that your family was a bit more open with your parents.
Yes.
It makes a huge difference. And we actually have something now called Mental Health First Aid, which is a training that our board takes out to the community. We started in 2013, I think it was in October, so September or October 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud to say we have trained 700 individuals.
Wow.
Across the region. And some came from outside of the region.
Mm-hmm.
They stepped across the border to get this. Myself, we've trained counselors, school personnel, police, private providers, nurses, even a couple of professors at UVA on mental health first aid. And the feedback has been, it's a great thing. They're really glad that they got it because it helped them destigmatize, I think, a lot of the mystery out of mental illness, be less afraid, which I think fear factor is a huge component of the stigma and why people don't want to deal with folks who are having bizarre thoughts, who may think that the CIA is out to get them. And this is, in addition to what the CIA may actually be doing, or the NSA,
yes.
Or who think that someone's poisoning their food and then a relative becomes someone else.
Yes.
And the relative's not aware that the person's thinking these thoughts. So mental health first aid is probably one of the biggest and best things we've ever been involved with and invested in.
Well, I can tell you, just hearing about it, I am impressed because most of what, certainly in the beginning years with my parents, I had to learn this as I went. I was, I guess as a director in the media, I would watch actors and, of course, have to decide how the best direct them and what the character was and what the character was thinking. I don't know, maybe that was helped me. But most of what took place with my parents, and again, while there are angry phases in someone with Alzheimer's disease can go through, it's nothing like some of the violence we see perpetuated on, I think as one of my guests once said to me, people with mental illness are more often in our history now and for the last 150 more years, the patient has been more victim than society has been. And I think you kind of said something like that a little earlier too. But having a class, any kind of training like you're describing, what'd you call it again? Mental health aid?
Mental health first aid.
First aid.
It borrows from first aid itself.
Yes.
But it's mental health first aid.
And it's excellent because I didn't have that. So I can hear from your description, everyone should seek out this training because we don't know. We don't know. We have to learn how to recognize and how to be empathetic and how to be able to deal with it. So tell us more. I mean, what on your website, yes, there must be a website that lists all of the services. Maybe we should give that website too.
Oh, yeah. The easiest way to get to it is just to Google, if you use the computer to Google Region 10,
mm-hmm.
Spell out 10, T-E-N, not the number,
uh-huh.
and then just say Region 10 CSB.
Gotcha.
And that should bring it up. You'll see our homepage. We change the pictures. We usually have staff. We have some. It's just fun for me to have different pictures up
sure.
Once or twice a month of our staff. And then you just click on About Us. It tells you our history, the board of directors, some of our staff, our plan, and our services. That's where you will get all the services that, we have
mm-hmm.
and that we provide to the community. Any news that's going on, we'll have that under the news section. It's a very simple website,
mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, I love it.
God, yes.
Event.
Well, I was
how to get involved.
I was extremely impressed. And again, I didn't want to talk over you because you're talking about how to get involved, and that's perhaps the biggest thing we need to talk about now. We've gone through the discussions about the stigma of people in denial about it or turning their back on people with mental illness. We know that it can have tragic consequences. But tell us, what's trending now? How do we get involved? Trending, that's that new Twitter or whatever thing, a term. What's trending in mental health? What is going on and how can we get involved?
One of the big voids that we've had forever has been the problem that we have with primary care.
A lot
of the folks who end up, and let me just say this real quickly, folks with addictive disorders, and mental health disorders
yes.
tend to live 20 to 25 years less than
wow.
the average person
wow.
because of their diseases, because of their brain diseases and the lifestyles associated with them.
Mm.
So we have always lacked the ability to get people to primary care,
mm-hmm.
medical care in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often their illnesses made them think that they were, sort of invulnerable.
Mm.
And so by the time they got into care, it was usually the emergency room and an illness that could have been treated 2 or 3 years ago
mm.
had progressed to maybe a terminal stage. So what's trending is integrated care, what they call the integration of behavioral health and primary care.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere we can, and I'm proud to say that Region 10 this past February cut the ribbon for what we call our Peterson Clinic,
uh-huh.
which is in one of our largest buildings in Charlottesville,
uh-huh.
and through a partnership with Moffitt Jefferson Hospital.
Excellent.
We have 5 examination rooms, a doctor, a nurse practitioner, nursing care, all in the same suite of that uh-huh. building as our psychiatrists, case managers, our PAC team, and our adult clinical services. So
wow.
individuals who come in for one service can now see a doctor for their physical needs, and there's a lot of interplay between the doctor's care, the doctors there, the nurses there, psychiatrists there.
Mm.
The individual experiences a more seamless system. So that's what's trending. That's what,
excellent.
CMS wants to see nationwide. That's what they're funding. So I'm very proud of that.
So you said there's something on the website that tells us how to get involved. Can you tell us how do we? I mean, it sounds like
yeah.
you have such a professional staff. So I'm presuming. Well, you tell us. How do we get involved?
Well, probably similar to most CSBs. If you go to our site, you're going to see that we talk about volunteering your time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a good way to sign up more about what's happening. I would go back to Mental Health First Aid.
Uh-huh.
It's a free service. And anyone in the community who wants to learn about mental health, how to look for signs and symptoms, should sign up. It's a one-day, 8-hour course. Get a free lunch.
Wow.
We'll make it free for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you that's 8 hours that you will be glad that you spent. We actually accept donations. So, Marcella, if you happen to be sitting on $10-15 million,
yes.
We're glad to relieve you of some of that burden.
Some of that, yes. Yeah. Because that's a heavy burden.
That's a heavy burden. It's too much for one man.
Yes, that's right.
We do ask for folks to donate. You can donate right online. But one other thing that we we have is a consumer advisory council.
Mm.
As the executive director, I believe that I need to hear from the consumers.
Yes.
So we have a consumer council that has a president, a vice president, a treasurer, a secretary. I meet with them every 6 weeks, along with a staff member who self-discloses that she's in recovery from mental health issues, and she's on my leadership team.
Oh, wow, that's perfect.
Yeah, and we have found them to be invaluable.
Yes.
As far as taking the pulse, taking the help of our agency, what do we need to do differently? What can we do better?
Mm-hmm.
And where are we doing really well?
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us with our whole mission of being person-centered. And then advocacy. You know, when you were talking about the Affordable Care Act,
yes,
it is our job to advocate without taking sides as much as possible.
Yes.
So when I go to Richmond, and I go to Richmond quite a bit, especially during the legislative session, I work with Republicans, I work with Democrats. To me, they are legislators for the people.
Yes.
And quite frankly, I've had success with individuals no matter which side of the aisle they're on.
Excellent.
So, yeah, my job is to be nonpartisan, roll it out, and hope for the best and push hard for the best result.
You know, this has been such a great conversation. I know we've primarily focused on mental health and mental illnesses and in its different forms. And we've mentioned substance abuse, but tell us, let's get into that just a little more before we have to go. What do you see, for instance, in Charlottesville? Most people I know think of Charlottesville as this historical, beautiful, idyllic place in the valley of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And of course it is all of that, but like any city, Charlottesville is the biggest small town, I tell people all the time. But what are the challenges, even in a city the size of Charlottesville? Who do you see? Because from what I've researched, again, I mentioned before, you are serving the entire community, and it seems regardless of age and what substance abuse, what mental illness. So give us some idea, some ratios even, because people sometimes think, you know, the mentally ill or just this or just that, or drug users or just this or just that. Enlighten us, Robert, because I know you know better.
Well, I'll do the best I can because it's a moving picture.
Yes.
But I can tell you this, when you see the image of the person laid out in the gutter, that's atypical.
Mm.
Most folks with addictive disorders, 50% of them are working, which a lot of people don't know. And the most common drug that we see in Region 10 would be alcohol.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
So alcohol is legal, so you don't get arrested for using, but
yes,
people get into more trouble with alcohol than the rest of them. Cocaine, heroin, whatever you want to say, even some of the new designer drugs, combined they create less problems than alcohol does by itself.
Wow.
So I don't know how many people know that, but there's an old saying, there's nothing worse than a drunk, because it's not uncommon for two people drinking for best friends, one of them to kill the other, or to seriously wound the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we work a lot with that, and people need to know about it.
Yes.
We consider it to be a disease, a brain disease, and I think our evidence shows that people who have the disease are in denial, generally, about it, until they start having consequences. So we work a lot with folks on, let's look at what it's cost you thus far, and we are a recovery-oriented agency for folks who have addictive disorders and mental health disorders. So we truly believe in recovery. And I can tell you personally, I'm a person who's been in the field since 76, 75.
Wow.
I've seen recovery create more positive outcomes than any other concept that I have learned in a school setting or experientially.
Wow.
So I definitely promote it.
You know, Robert, this conversation has just been phenomenal. If we only spoke about alcohol is out there doing more trouble than the drugs that one has to buy illicitly, the dog or animal therapy, the hotline, the mental health first aid. If we had only talked about that, that's just a wealth of information that we need to know. But there's so much more. Let's give you a website again, the telephone number again, and we'll get your final thoughts.
Okay. the website, www.region10, or just Google Region 10 CSB, and that'll bring you to the website.
Mm-hmm.
And the number is 434 area code 972-1800.
Excellent. And we're looking for ways to be involved. And how long have you been the executive director of Region 10?
I've been here about 8.5 years.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, they've gone very quickly.
Any last thoughts you want to make certain we take away from this show?
I want folks to recognize that individuals are doing the best they can. If you have a disease, it needs to be treated. And if they would look at these mental health, these brain diseases, the same way they look at high blood pressure, diabetes, then we can reduce stigma and we can make a lot more progress.
That is so true. Thank you. Thank you so much, Robert Johnson, for ending the show with us on that point. We need to look at all illnesses, mental, physical, or otherwise. And I would add, as I had to often tell the caregivers for my parents, just because someone has a mental illness does not mean they don't have the same physical illnesses as everyone else too. As you pointed out, you've got to tell us again the name of the new one-stop place that seems to cover it all.
It's the Peterson Clinic, which is part of our Peterson building in Charlottesville.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Executive Director of Region 10, Robert Johnson. So appreciate you being on the show and all the education and information you have shared with us. It's a lot to think about, and it's a lot to act on. Make a donation, folks, and donate your time. Time is of value, too. They need volunteers. Thank you again, Robert. I wish you all the very best. Bye now.
Thank you.
Stay with us, as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Out of a cast of tens of thousands, Italian director Gianni Amelio employed only two professional actors in the making of his epic L'America. When Albania overthrew its communist dictator, the country was in ruins. Renewal plans included financial incentives to start new industry. Now Gino, an Italian carpetbagger, intends to steal this seed money, pretend to start up a company, and then take off. All he needs is an Albanian figurehead. Spiro has been a political prisoner for over half a century. His mind is gone, but he can sign his name, which is all that matters to Gino. Unfortunately, Spiro escapes on a delusional quest, and Gino must find him. All this is a device to tell a much larger story. As Gino and Spiro travel across a desperate country, we observe mankind at its basest levels. Gino is slowly stripped of his empowering wealth and even his identity. He becomes a part of the vast, unwashed masses, yearning for a future that is uncertain at best. L'America comes from the country which gave us opera, and opera looms large, epic, and poetic. This is not simple entertainment. It is operatic filmmaking which peels back the all-too-thin facade of civilization. Indie Film Minute, not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us and becoming one of the reasonable voices heard around the world. Damn. Bullies and gun violence have breached our nation. Trust this. We're going to get worse before we get better. Robbed, abused, raped, murdered, or bombed, like Doctors Without Borders, most American targets know their assailants, whether an act of friendly fire with catastrophic results or domestic violence. Most life-taking bullies are our friends, dates, teachers, relatives, co-workers, or fellow students. The trumped truth is, there will be car accidents as long as there are drivers, rush hour, tailgating, texting, and drinking. But it would be irresponsible to shrug away speed limits and foolhardy not to add more police protection on holiday weekends. When qualifying with an M16, my battalion commander observed, "Great shooting, son." Turning to face him, I half expected to see Uncle Gino with an approving grunt.
Long before playing cowboys and Indians transformed us into NRA disciples shooting innocents at school, play, and work, I was a sharpshooter. When my parents weren't around, Uncle Gino learned me how to shoot and to spect what he called his backup. No such thing as target shooting, he'd say. You fire to eliminate threat, animal or otherwise. After grad school, I asked Uncle Gino who he thought should be allowed to own guns. Only fellas who should have guns is us, not them. Before you target me as pro or con, I believe attacking any violence needs to start with a gun-free America. Then we can compromise as needed from perfection. I never once saw my Uncle Gino draw his handgun from its hip holster except to clean it. However, I did witness his knocking out a man cold who slapped his wife at a party. He wasn't a violent man, but an extremely strong one who didn't need a gun to prove it. We can be American strong without a lethal extension to our arm. Fear, anger, and a loss of trust in our institutions and faith in ourselves breeds violence of all kinds. For violence takes as many forms as it does lives. Guns are merely a convenient, though deadly, accelerant. Gun ownership, without civility and the dictates of conscience, has taken a radical right turn since Dallas, November 22, 1963, when faith in government began to bleed out. With erased tapes, presidential resignation, then pardon, national trust became unhinged, especially from flag-waving Watergate conservatives cannibalizing democracy. With foxes on CNN and hares on Fox hounding us with 24/7 tally-hoes, while refusing to hunt for real news beyond reruns of If It Bled Yesterday, We Can Bleed It Again Today, we miss that the people who control our electrical power on and off switch, who remove our mountaintops, who dump coal ash in their employees' drinking water, are the same Wall Street people who wrecked our economy and electoral process. Could this be why the Arab Spring is backfiring? Why Hawaii Democrat Tulsi Gabbard is rising above party politics? Why civil discourse has plummeted since Bush-Cheney Wall Street-induced Great Recession? Is Main Street finally targeting K Street for shooting Congress into the toilet, leaving our environment yearning to breathe free? Big coal is still the smoking gun, but only because we are still electing people who give billions of dollars to corporations who neither deserve nor need it. While we lie to ourselves about farting cows, the NRA keeps America ambushed with OK Corral fantasy, all while our big-screen TVs scream sports scores, stream rising temperatures, and regurgitate gossip. We murder earthlings and earth, burning coal for entertainment, evidently unconscious of those who live by the sword die and take too many of us with them. There is no such thing as clean coal and no easy solutions to gun violence. But until we honestly address both, violent stuff like congressional cuts to public education, Alabama's closing DMVs in minority communities, and Americans shooting Americans will continue to be our national collateral damage, because stuff happens when we turn our back on any domestic violence. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of the Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.